I want you to grab your Bibles, hold them up in the air. Grab your Bible or your iPad or whatever it is you're using. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single
this
day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is a revelation.
Is a revelation.
Of His will for my life.
Of His will for my life.
Whatever it says I am.
Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do.
I can do it.
And whatever it says I have
in 2016,
I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim it.
I'm
going to
claim it.
I'm going to claim it.
I'm
going to
claim it.
I'm going to claim it. I'm going to claim the devil's destruction over my life in 2016. I'm going to
claim
that call of God
on my life
in 2016. I'm going to walk in health.
I'm going to walk in health.
I'm going to walk in prosperity.
I'm going to walk in prosperity.
I'm going to walk in supernatural anointing.
I'm going to walk in supernatural anointing.
I'm going to win souls.
I'm going to win souls.
I'm going to be a soul winner.
I'm going to be a soul winner.
In Jesus.
In Jesus.
In 2016.
In 2016.
I'm going to get people healed.
I'm going to get people healed.
I'm going to get people delivered.
I'm going to get people delivered.
I'm going to do great things.
I'm going to do great things.
Because greater is He.
The greater is He.
That is in me.
That is in me.
And He.
That is He.
That is in the world.
In the world.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Promise me.
Promise me.
I will do great things.
I will do great things.
Even greater things.
Even greater things.
Than He has done.
That He has done.
All great things He has done. Greater things my God will do. Unto our God be all the glory. Great things He has done. Great things. Great things. He has done. Greater things. Greater things. Our God will do. Unto our God be all the glory. Great things He has done. Praise God. You may be seated in God's presence. I have been looking forward to getting back to teaching this. I think there's some good stuff. I don't know how many of y'all have read the book yet, but I think there's some good stuff in here that needs to be explained, talked about, and really bless you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Before we get into this, just a reminder, as I told you earlier this morning, Brother Morris' son has passed away. And it's a sad moment for him. If you want to call him, I will give you his number after the service. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you want to go by and visit him, you need the address. I don't remember the house number. I remember the street, but I go to Morris's house all the time. I was over his house yesterday. Before this even happened, I was over his house and we've been spending some time with him and Maritha. And even though his foot was hurting him real bad, he kept saying, "Pastor, I want to go to church tomorrow, so just come get me." Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But then this happened, and it devastated him. Praise God. So let's continue to lift him up in prayer. Remember, you know, we are a family. Amen.
Amen.
Victorious Word. Oh, excuse me. Now I'm getting the name wrong. I was getting it right all last year, and this year I just said it the wrong way. Christ's Victory Bible Teaching Center is a family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We stick together. When somebody's going through, we stick it out with them. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We don't leave them high and dry. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So let's turn with me to Luke. Chapter 6. We want to welcome Brother Mark with us. Mark, right?
Martin.
Martin. Thank you. We want to welcome Brother Martin with us today. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Moti, she can sing, can't she?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. I was really looking forward to the little girl singing today too, but hopefully we'll get them next week. I just love it when I see y'all doing stuff for Christ. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It lets me know that pretty soon Pastor ain't gonna have to lead praise and worship no more.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for, whether y'all believe it or not, I'm looking forward to the day when I don't have to do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, I'll sing a special every once in a while because I know how much y'all going to miss me singing.
Amen.
I sound like a sarcastic amen, yes. Sister Edwards.
I laugh from my pastor.
We're going to have to work on that. This is when the rule applies. Do as I say, not as I do.
All right,
amen. Luke chapter 6. Begin at verse 9. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing." Now, if you read the background, you know he's talking to the Pharisees. You know, they're a bunch of legalistic people, got mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day. You know, because understand the Pharisees, not only did they have God's laws, and this is where people mess up, because they think that people say, well, the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, you become legalistic. No, that's not true. The Pharisees, they added to God's laws. Praise God.
Amen.
They had what they called the Talmud, which is their commentary on the laws of God. And they added stringent requirements to God's laws. Praise Jesus. And one of the things was their own ideas about how you would please God on the Sabbath. You couldn't do anything, you couldn't even lift your finger basically on the Sabbath day. So for Jesus to heal somebody on the Sabbath or to deliver somebody from demon possession on the Sabbath day, they got upset about that. And so Jesus asked them this question. He asked them in verse 9, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Praise God.
Amen.
See, Jesus, when it comes to people, Jesus don't care about rules and traditions. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus cares about people. Praise God. Amen. You see, I tell you right now, if I'm in the middle of a message, and somebody comes up here screaming and hollering they need healing, you know what happened? What Pastor Troy gonna do? Stop the message and get that person healed. Praise God.
Amen.
See, it's more important to deal with people, to love people, and to care about people than it is to follow your traditions, to do your little things. You know, a lot of churches don't want their traditions disturbed. Man, if you disturb their traditions, I don't care what's going on, you are in trouble. But that's nothing new. That was what the Pharisees did. Jesus didn't care about any of that. When he saw this man sick, he said they got a tradition on the Sabbath day. Well, I'm going to break tradition, praise God. And
Amen.
He healed that man.
Thank you.
Well, the thing Jesus asked in the middle of this is, which is right and which is wrong? To do good or to do evil on the Sabbath day?
Amen.
See, for Jesus to do nothing would have been to do evil, praise God. To leave that man in his condition when he could do something about it, that would be to do evil. Is it good to save life or to destroy it? For Jesus to have done nothing and to leave that man in his condition on the Sabbath day would have been to destroy that man's life. Praise God.
Amen.
Because that man, he could have died right after Sabbath day, which was usually Saturday on the Jewish calendar. He could be dead on Sunday. Praise God.
Amen.
That man is destroyed. But Jesus saved that man's life. Praise God.
Amen.
And so the question we want to ask today is, does Jesus do good or does he destroy? Is Jesus a destroyer? Now, you know, Jesus, we notice that he compares doing good to saving a life. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus compares doing good to saving a life. He compares evil to destruction. So, saving life, good. Destroying a life, evil. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He compared healing to doing good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he compared sickness to destruction. How many of y'all believe that sickness is a blessing? You've been here long enough, you should have learned by now. It is not a blessing, praise God.
Amen.
If you haven't been sick before, you should know that sickness is not a blessing, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And people get sick and they can't come to church no more. People get sick and they can't go to work no more. People get sick and somebody's got to wait on you hand and foot, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, my mother is in one of those nursing homes. And she's miserable. She ain't having fun, praise God. I've gotten calls several times this week, including one this morning, that if I didn't know how to shake it off, I tell you, it would have just messed me up this morning. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But her being sick like that, it ain't good. That's not God. God wouldn't do that to her. God wouldn't do that to me, praise God.
Amen.
Having me way up here in Rhode Island while she's way down there in New Jersey and having to deal with the issues she's dealing with. See, sickness is never a good thing. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Our brother is now he couldn't be here at church. He's sad. His whole family's heartbroken. I call him on the phone and you know his sister picks up and she's crying and she says, "Pastor, please pray for us." You know, that's not God. God wants you full of joy. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Death, sickness, and death brings sadness, hurt, and destruction. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not the destroyer. So leaving somebody in a bad condition is doing evil and it's destroying. Praise Jesus. So is Jesus a destroyer? No. And we're going to show you that. You know, somebody might say, "Well, Pastor, well, what about in the book of Revelation? Jesus said he was going to kill some people." Oh, you're going to have to wait. If you let me finish this up. And I don't think I'll get to all of this today because I don't want to keep y'all here too long. I can stay here for a while if y'all don't mind. But, well, praise God. But I just know people. Praise Jesus. So I'm going to try not to keep you here too long. But turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Stay in the book of Luke. Let's go to chapter 9. Let's see. I think we got it up here on the screen. Luke chapter 9. Now here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is about to go into the Samaritan village, you know, because he's headed towards Jerusalem. The Samaritans are upset about that because there was a big robbery between the Jews and the Samaritans who were half-breed, half Jews, half Gentile. And they were rejected by the Jews, praise God. They were looked down upon. So I tell y'all, racism was going on ever since, even back in those days, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you think racism is a new thing? You know, you think because the way some whites treat blacks today, it's not a new thing. Amen. They were, and because of that, the Samaritans reacted in a negative way towards Jesus. Black folks, let me share something with y'all. Stop reacting negatively towards white people. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them. Show you'll be different. Be full of love. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know what it's like. I'm black. I've been through it. Still go through it sometimes. But I've learned to walk in love. Praise God.
Amen.
But then Jesus was going through the Samaritan village, and they saw that he was going to Jerusalem, and they told him, you don't even come to our village. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that when Jesus wants to go somewhere, and you tell him you're don't come here, he will stop.
Yes.
He sure will.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want him to come into your village, he ain't coming. You don't want Jesus in your house, he ain't gonna force himself in there. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and
knock."
He said, "If any man will let me in, then will I come in and sup with him." Praise God.
Amen.
See, Jesus doesn't force his way into somebody's house. You know who forces his way into things? Satan. It's not God. God is a gentleman, praise God. He is a gentleman. He if you don't want him around, he will not be around. Glory to God. You know what hell is all about? Hell is full of people that just didn't want God. That's what hell is full of. It's full of people who wanted nothing to do with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But I digress. So Jesus is going into the village. They tell him, "Now we don't want you here." So Jesus doesn't go in. Now his disciples, James and John, Jesus called them two the sons of thunder. And there's a good reason why he called them that. James and John, they wanted to throw lightning down. Let's look at the scripture, verse 54. Chapter 9, verse 54, he says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did?'" Woo! I mean, now you see why they were called the sons of thunder. They ain't play around. You mess with Jesus, we're going to call some fire down on you. Glory to God. I remember one time somebody was criticizing me because on one of them social medias because I was talking about tithing. And I mean, they was being nasty with me about it. And so one of our ex-church members, he got on there, and I mean, he started going off on the person. And I had to calm him down. I had to say, hey, let's not react that way. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I told him, I appreciate the way you know, you love your pastor and all that, and you're trying to defend me. I said, but we don't react the way they react. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
We know what we believe is the truth. If they want to get nasty with me, that's their business. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now my wife will tell you, a few years ago, you wouldn't have had to defend me because I would have been very nasty right back. But Jesus has changed me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus has changed me. Somebody might say it's old age, but I tell you it's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, because some people get older and they get crankier.
Amen.
I've gotten older and spend more time with Jesus. I've gotten calmer. Praise God.
Amen.
So now when people insult me, they don't agree with what I'm teaching or what I believe or anything like that. I say, well, you know what? That's your business. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says. You want to argue against the Word, that's your business. Praise God.
Amen.
But see, Jesus was just like that. He didn't, you know, Jesus ain't going to go seek vengeance. He wasn't going to seek vengeance on the Samaritans. So look what Jesus responds. He says, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'"
Amen.
And he went to another village. Praise God.
Amen.
See, Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives. Praise God.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that Jesus is just like the Father?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that the Father is just like Jesus?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus?
Amen.
Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are exactly the same in personality. So if Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives, then God did not come to destroy men's lives. See, it's just like I told y'all on Christmas, you know, there actually are churches who believe that Jesus came to save us from the wrath of God. And the idea of Jesus is coming down here to say, "Oh no, Father, please don't destroy them. I shall die for them, praise God." You know, like I always use that British accent because a lot of the Jesus movies I see have British accents in them. So I don't know why a Jewish man would be speaking with a British accent, but that's the way the movies portray him. But he says, "Oh no, Father, please, I shall die for them. Don't hurt them, Lord. Please don't hurt them." See, that's not the way it was. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit did not come to destroy men's lives, but to what? But to what?
Save.
Praise God. See, that word destroy that you find here in 9:54 is the exact same word you find in John chapter 3, verse 16. Let me show you. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish." See that word perish? Exact same word Jesus used in Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 54, when he said, "I did not come to destroy men's lives." But he said, but look, God sent his only Son into the world. Why? So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at this, verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is God a destroyer?
No.
Is Jesus a destroyer?
No.
So if Jesus is not a destroyer, then neither is God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God doesn't go around putting sickness on you. He don't go around putting diseases on you. He don't go around putting you in a car accidents and all the other stuff that some churches teach. Now let me read this to you from the Voice translation. It says, for God has expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed toward certain destruction. Praise God.
Amen.
God sent Jesus not to destroy us, but to rescue us from the destruction that we have made ourselves. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus didn't go around trying to destroy people. Jesus, when you read the Gospels, do you ever read any time Jesus said, hey, boy, you know, you got that cancer on you to glorify God and to make you a better person? Do you ever read that anywhere in the Gospels?
No.
No, those of you, the one or two of you who actually read your Bibles anyway, praise God.
Amen.
If you read your Bible and you read the Gospels, you never find anywhere where Jesus gave anybody sickness and disease. He gave them healing and health. Now look, turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now listen to this. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what?
Good.
What did he go about doing?
Good.
Now who anointed Jesus?
Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and both answers are true. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. It was God who did it. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God is not looking, he's not looking to destroy. Jesus is not looking to destroy. The Holy Spirit's not looking to destroy. The three members of the triune Godhead are looking for your salvation and your deliverance. Praise God.
Amen.
Now look at this, that he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Now what was the good that Jesus went about doing? Can anybody tell me?
Healing.
He went about healing all that were oppressed of who?
The devil.
Who?
The devil.
Who was oppressing the people?
The devil.
So sickness is oppression, ain't it?
Yes.
Nowhere in the Bible does it ever call sickness a blessing. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever call a car accident a blessing. Well, Pastor, you know, the Bible says that God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Where's that at? I know it's somewhere in the Bible, Pastor. Chapter and verse, please. I'll go look it up later. I remember one time, some of y'all were here when I did this. I don't intentionally try to embarrass y'all. I try to make y'all really see whether what you believe in is just tradition or is it biblical. You know, I remember one morning somebody called me on the phone and they told me, yes, God never puts on you anything more than you can bear, talking about sickness and trials and stuff like that. Because they were going through a trial, and that's how they were comforting themselves. So that later that day, Sunday service, I asked everybody, how many of y'all believe that God never puts on you any more than you can bear? I'm not gonna ask y'all that this time. But a number of people raised their hands. I said, show me where that's at. And I saw all the pages turning. I saw people looking in their table of contents. Probably some people looking in the back on their concordance. Nobody could find that passage. You know why? It ain't there. It ain't there. Praise God.
Amen.
There's nowhere in the Bible that does it say that God puts on you, will never put on you any more than you can bear. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Now there's people that misquote the Bible. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, all temptation that we suffer is only the temptation that is common to man. But it says that God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God.
Amen.
It never says that God is the one who puts on you those temptations. God, as a matter of fact, James chapter 1 verse 13 says that when I am tempted, I am not to say that I am tempted of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is not the one who puts on you temptation to sin. He's not the one who puts on you sickness. He's not the one who puts on you accidents. Jesus is not a destroyer, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. If Jesus had, if God is a destroyer, then Jesus should have shown that example while he was on earth, praise God.
Amen.
Instead of going around healing people, he should have made some people sick. Praise God. Instead of always trying to rescue some people, he should have let some people get in car into donkey accidents. Well, they didn't have cars then, back then, so they had donkey accidents. If Jesus is a destroyer, then he should have let some people starve to death. But what did he do?
He fed
them. So why is it that Jesus is the exact opposite of our portrayal or the traditional portrayal of God sometimes? When somebody has a bad situation in their home, the first thing we say is, oh, well, God is in control. He allowed that to happen for a reason. No! Baby, we are in a fallen world, praise God. These things happen because sin came into the world, and death through sin brought this destruction, glory to God.
Amen.
And so Jesus, he did not ever go around putting sickness and disease on people. Instead, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who?
Satan.
The devil, Satan. And look at this. Look at the last part. This is very important. For God was with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means that what Jesus did, God did. Jesus said, I do nothing except what I see my Father do. So whatever Jesus did, the Father did. And as I told y'all before, if the Father had came and died for you instead of Jesus, you wouldn't read nothing different in the Gospels. Praise God. Because the Father is just like Jesus, and Jesus is just like the Father. If the Holy Spirit had did it instead of Jesus, you wouldn't have read nothing different. Praise God.
Amen.
So we see from this point that Jesus went about doing what?
Good.
What was the good that Jesus did?
Amen.
Sickness is a blessing. Is it a blessing or what? Is it a blessing or oppression?
Oppression.
Where does sickness have its origins? Oh man, y'all are smart. Who was with Jesus?
God.
Oh man, y'all are some smart people. So we see that God, he's not the one making people sick, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want y'all to connect. Let me see how much time I got. I got a little bit of time. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Show y'all a couple more scriptures. We'll get ready to go home. John chapter 5. I know I quoted, not literally quoted, but somewhat quoted and paraphrased it a moment ago. But we do call ourselves Bible Teaching Center, praise God.
Amen.
So what are we going to do? We're going to teach. John chapter 5 verse 19, it says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Praise God.
Amen.
So Jesus, he did everything he saw his Father doing. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus is not a destroyer. If Jesus is not a destroyer, then neither is the Father. Now turn with me to John chapter 14. Are you learning anything?
Amen.
Praise God. John chapter 14. Let's begin at verse 6. Let me put it up on the screen for you. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Or in other words, it'll be enough for us, is what Philip is saying. And look at Jesus' disappointment. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You need to underline that in your Bible. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus went about healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, and Jesus said the Father in me was doing the works. Glory to God.
Amen.
Did Jesus ever make anybody sick?
No.
Did Jesus ever cause anybody to have a donkey accident?
No.
Or a horse accident?
No.
Did Jesus go around letting people starve to death?
No.
Did Jesus ever let anybody, did Jesus put any evil spirits on people?
No.
No. Jesus didn't do any of that. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then Jesus says right here, the Father that's in me, he's the one that's doing the stuff. Praise God. So that means if Jesus didn't do any of it, then the Father doesn't do any of it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And he goes on, verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and I love this passage, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Glory to God.
Amen.
How many of y'all want to do greater works?
Amen.
How many of y'all believe you can do greater works than Jesus?
Amen.
He said it. I believe it. Now, if it wasn't written right here, I certainly wouldn't say it. Praise God.
Amen.
Do greater works than my Lord? No.
Thank you.
But every one of us. I want my children to do greater than I did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want my son to do better than I've done. Praise God.
Amen.
That's the Jesus is the same way. He now it's hard to match up to Jesus because he did a lot of miracles. But he says that God's people can do miracles today. We should be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Praise
Amen.
God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, you don't have to turn there. It says, I and my Father are one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, I and my Father are one. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's look at one more passage and we get ready to close out. I haven't kept you too long. It's only been, according to my clock, it's only 33 minutes. Praise God. I usually try to keep you at least 45. Most of y'all fall asleep about 15. Wake up! Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up a little. Stand up a little minute. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. It's the first of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Groove a little bit. Do your
stop.
Yeah. Do your aerobics. One, two. My best Richard Simmons. All right, you may be sit down. We're gonna go through one more scripture. Praise God. My best Richard Simmons impersonation. One, two. All right. John chapter 17. See, you notice you're staying in John. We're going to look at two passages in John chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 11, and then we'll skip down to verse 22. Verse 11, it says, and now I am no more in the world. This is Jesus. He's about to die on our behalf, and he's in the garden praying. Praise God.
Amen.
He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for you, the future disciples. And he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, let me explain something to you real quickly, a doctrinal thing. How many of y'all have ever been confused about the Trinity? Anybody? I know you have. Good. The Trinity is simple. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Praise God. My wife and I are married. Praise God. The Bible says that we are one. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How many Christ Victory Bible Teaching Centers is there? We got a number of people in here though, right?
Yeah.
Many of y'all consider yourselves members. So is each one of us a Bible Teaching Center?
No, we are one.
We are one, praise God. There's one Bible Teaching Center, but it has many or at least several members, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We're getting to the many by God's grace. But we have several members, but it's one local body, praise God. Well, the same thing with the Trinity. It's simple. I don't know why we get confused over simple things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're three different people, but they're one God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's just a simple thing. We're not teaching three. You know, the Muslims will accuse Christians of teaching three gods. No, we're not teaching three gods. We're teaching one God.
Amen.
Just like we teach one church. Praise God.
Amen.
Just like me and my wife are one marriage. Praise God.
Amen.
You're not saying there's two marriages here. There's one marriage. Amen.
Amen.
And it's two different individuals in the marriage. You got my daughters here. How many families do me, my wife, my daughters represent?
One.
It's one family. Several members in the family, but one family, praise God.
Amen.
The Edwards family is one. Glory to God. So that's how you simply understand the Trinity. The Trinity is more. And understanding the Trinity is very important to understanding God's character, because Jesus and the Father are one. And so Jesus would not do anything that the Father would not do. Amen.
Amen.
And the Father would never do anything that Jesus would do. So if Jesus never destroys, if Jesus never puts sickness on people, if Jesus never causes car accidents, if Jesus doesn't go around killing your relatives, then neither does the Father. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I know there's Old Testament scriptures in there, in the Bible, that talks about that. And we're going to get into that. We already explained some things. If you got the book, you can go ahead and look through some of that stuff. We already got some books out now in the back that helps you to understand some of these things. But you got to, in order for your faith to be strong, you've got to understand this truth, praise God. Because if you think that God is the one putting this stuff on you, then you won't fight against it. That's what a lot of people do. They sit there and say, well, God has a reason for this. And the devil just smacking them around. Well, God has a reason for this happening to me. No, God does not have a reason for that. God wants you delivered. Praise God.
Amen.
But you've got to understand that it's not him doing it to you. It's the devil.
Yes.
Let's look at one more passage. Go down to verse 22 of the same chapter. And Jesus says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. See, the Bible explains the Trinity very well.
Amen.
He compares his oneness with the Father with the oneness that he expects that his disciples should have. He expects us as Christ Victory Bible Teaching Center that we ought to be one, praise God.
Amen.
And so if we are one, we're in unity, then there'll always be love, and we'll always be able to conquer many things together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what he wanted the disciples, that they would be one, just as me, and Jesus said it, just as me and you are one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's unity within the triune Godhead. But the thing is that it's so important to understand that, because God the Father simply would not do anything different than what Jesus does. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus is a lover, not a destroyer. Amen. You know, there was a minister who a couple of years ago says, I don't want a God that I can beat up. And so, you know, in other words, he was trying to portray this idea about Jesus as somebody who's destructive and somebody who goes around kicking people's butts. But how many of y'all know that Jesus allowed people to beat him up? He allowed the Pharisees to smack him around. He allowed them to pull out his beard. He allowed them to take a cat of nine tails and beat him. He allowed them to put him on the cross and put nails in the most painful places of his body. He allowed them to do all those things to him. We have a God. He's strong, don't get me wrong. But there's more than one kind of strength. See, there's strength, you can have power, and he's all powerful. He could have destroyed them in a millisecond, praise God.
Amen.
But he loved them, so he let them beat him up, praise God.
Amen.
He is an omnipotent God, but he doesn't use his power destructively. He uses his power to rescue. He uses his power to heal. He uses his power to deliver. And we as God's people, if we're going to share the gospel, and we're going to be talking about witnessing and evangelism and soul winning, you need to know the God you are representing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't, because when you go out and share the gospel, you're going to run into people with problems. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you from experience. Because I've been out and I've done street evangelism for years. I've gone to people's houses and talked to them about the Lord. I'm shy just like anybody. Well, I don't confess that in Jesus' name. God has not given me a spirit of fear. From a natural standpoint, it's sometimes difficult for me, praise God. But I always stand and believe God with boldness. Hallelujah. And I'm able to go up and share the good news with somebody. And I'm telling you, I've run into people with problems. The first thing they got to understand is that God is not the one. Like one lady I was witnessing to for years, and then her father died. And so I tried to talk with her, and so, you know, because she knew I was a Christian, the first thing she says is, "Well, Troy, I'm pretty mad at God right now for what happened to my father." And I said, "Baby," I said, "listen, I said, God didn't do that to your father. He didn't kill him. He didn't do that. I said, I understand the anger. I said, I've been angry before. But I said, please don't misunderstand God. He's not the one." And I told her, I want to talk with her more. We never did get around to talking more about it, you know, because she's busy and stuff like that. But, you know, people come to you with those type of things then when you're trying to share the gospel with them. You've got to be able to explain to them that this is not God. The God you're serving, he's the comforter, not the killer, praise God.
Amen.
He's the lover, not the hater. He's the deliverer, not the destroyer. He's the healer, not the sickness bringer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, if y'all gonna clap now, don't patty cake. I wanna hear some real clap. Yeah, none of that. Patty cake, fake girl's mouth. No. None of that girlish stuff. Praise God. Let's bow your heads, close your eyes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today.
Amen.
Thank you for teaching us the truth of your word. Father God, continue to illuminate by your Holy Spirit the understanding that we need of your word. Father, we also pray for Brother Mars. Lord, we just continue to believe you to send your comforter his way and to help him during this very devastating and difficult time. Father God, but help him to realize also that this is none of your fault. You didn't do this. This was his enemy. And that the best way to pay this enemy back is by living for you. Help us to help him to understand that, Father God. Lord, bless your people as they grasp this truth as well and not reject what they have heard, but to study it out for themselves. To look at the scriptures, Lord, to look at the scriptures that we've given to them, Father God, and help them to receive further illumination and understanding, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because we serve a God who's lovely, who's kind, who's generous,
who's looking for our good, not our harm. Father, we thank you so very, very much. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask if there's anyone here today. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Is there anyone here who does not yet know Jesus as their Lord and Savior?